Welcome to the Roto World Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Alfieri, and joining me, like he does for every show, is the senior writer and editor of Roto World Hockey, Michael Feinwax. Michael, I guess this is officially the holiday season. Still a couple days left before the official Christmas break, but I mean, we're almost at the midway point of the season.
Yeah, we are. The season's gone by real quick, and you know, it's a lot better this year with as far as hockey's concerned, because it's not a condensed schedule. Because it's an Olympic year, because the NHL is not going.
Yeah, that definitely makes a difference. And I wanted to, I know we've spoken about a whole bunch of different topics the last couple of weeks, and I know last week we focused on the waiver wire. This week I want to talk to you, and I want to pick your brain about goalies and how to approach goalies the rest of the way. Because I think, you know, just looking at it this year, scoring is definitely up. There's more goals. Like I just happened to be watching Montreal Vancouver earlier this week. Game finished 7-5, and it just seems like there's a lot more games that finished 4-3 than there were, you know, in the last couple of years. And I think obviously that has a lot to do with the increased, you know, crackdown on slashing and whatnot. And so the goalies, you know, the numbers are kind of, you know, they're a little bit different. And I think you have your first tier of goaltenders, but then you kind of get to the middle tier, and like it just depends on who's having a good week and who's having a bad week. Like, for example, I mean, I think we can agree Bobrovsky, Holtby, Vasilevsky, those three would probably fall in the first tier. But then, you know, there's some weeks like a guy in the, you know, the bottom part of the second or the middle tier there, a guy like Brian Elliott. You know, at one point the Flyers lose 10 in a row. Now they've won 5 or 6 in a row, or 6 of 7 and whatever it is. And it's just hard to kind of get a feel and get a gauge on who's going to be good what week, because there's so much parity. There's 31 teams in the NHL that are, you know, decent to very good. And it just anybody can win on any given day.
Yeah, I think you can throw Corey Crawford into the first tier as well. Yes. He leads the NHL amongst starting goalies in both save percentage and goals against average. He's been having an absolutely terrific year for a less than stellar Chicago team. You know, that's why I think always when you're drafting, goaltending is the most important. You always should get a guy who you can rely on. And you know what? This year, you could have thrown at the top Carey Price, who hasn't played well. And, you know, there's other guys who, like, played very well last year, like Dubnyk and Cam Talbot, and they're not having good seasons at all. So really, a lot of times, it's just like throwing darts. You know, there's 4 or 5 goalies you can rely on every single year. And I'm throwing Price in that as well. But, you know, he's not having a great year this year, especially in comparison to what he's done in the past. It's just really tough. So when you're drafting, you know, I say you go for the gold as far as goaltending is concerned, because everything else is just, you throw it up in the air and see what happens.
How impressed are you with what Andrei Vasilevsky's done? I mean, I know it's a team effort. He's in an ideal situation. But still, I mean, when they traded Ben Bishop away last year before the deadline, and they didn't necessarily get another proven goalie, like they just brought in Peter Budaj as part of that deal, and he's the backup guy. Like, they were really rolling the dice on Vasilevsky. And so far, I mean, it looks like they've hit this one out of the park.
Well, you got to remember, he was a first-round pick, and not too many goalies are first-round picks. They were really, really high on him. I actually, in my keeper league, drafted him 2 years ago for $1. And I had my choice between him and John Gibson, and I sort of passed on Gibson because I absolutely love Vasilevsky's, skill level. And, you know, he suffered a bit the first year because Bishop was amazing. But last year you can see that Vasilevsky was the guy. They kept Bishop around until the trade deadline and then just decide, you know what, whether we make the playoffs or not, we're not signing Bishop. So let's see what Vasilevsky can do. And he's just been outstanding this year. He's been, in my opinion, the best goalie in the league right now. And, I mean, I might be biased because I own him. but you know, like, he's got 21 wins, and he's just behind Crawford in save percentage and in goals against average. Crawford is .218 goals against average. Vasilevsky's .222. And it's .932 to .931 for Crawford as far as save percentage. So it's really, you know, those numbers really don't mean, aren't significant, but his 22 wins are huge because he leads the league in wins. And, you know, that's 6 better than Crawford. And if you're in a fantasy pool, 6 wins is 6 wins. That's a big, big deal.
Yeah. And I think the one thing about him this year, Michael, is that you mentioned those guys who tend to go early. And I know that in the Roto World leagues we did, I mean, he went relatively early, but I mean, not as early. Like, he wasn't the first goalie off the board, or even the second or probably third goalie off the board, because, you know, keep in mind, Tampa Bay missed the playoffs last year. I think everybody kind of expected them to bounce back. They've been excellent, but he's probably not a guy who was drafted like as a top five player. So if you did get him at the beginning of the year to be your number one goalie, I mean, he's exceeded those expectations as well. And like I mentioned a couple times, you know, I saw Tampa Bay often this year, and I've seen them, you know, I saw them early as well when they were winning all those games. And there was a lot of games where he was fantastic and they end up losing 5-4 or 4-3. And those, the stats don't, you know, they don't show that, but because those are going to skew the numbers a little bit, but his stats are fantastic. And he had a lot of those games early on where the Lightning were kind of figuring things out. And at the same time, he was keeping them in games while allowing some goals, but he's been great. And I'm with you. I think you know, he's been a huge part, and he's probably been the best goalie in the NHL, or most consistent one anyway, this year. Bobrovsky was kind of right there with him for a lot of that, but he's kind of tailed off a little bit of late. I mean, I'd expect him to kind of find his game, especially with the Christmas break. Everybody kind of gets to regroup, but there too, I mean, in Columbus, I've heard Tortorella talk about the fact that their best players haven't necessarily been their best players, and Bobrovsky's kept them in a lot of games. He's another guy who's very likely MVP of his team.
Yeah, you know, he's got a 2.41 goals against average. That was skewed a bit by giving up 7 goals the other night in Boston.
Yeah.
It just, you know, he faced 45 shots. He's faced over 40 shots in each of his last two games. So, you know, it's, you know, there's something wrong. There might be something wrong in Columbus. I know the last two games they've been missing Werenski, but, you know, I don't know if that's the big deal defensively as it should be. Like, I don't think Werenski's the guy blocking shots and being stellar defensively. He's more of an offensive defenseman. I mean, he's okay defensively, but you can't really expect a 20-year-old to be great defensively as well. Yeah. You know, it's I don't know. Like, he did this last year, and then he bounced right back. He had a couple bad games, and he bounced right back. So I'm expecting more of the same. You know, some guys just go through slumps where you fight the puck, or the teams go through slumps where they just can't do anything, and they make mistakes, and they give up, you know, a lot of giveaways that aren't the goalie's fault, but, you know, those things happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And now the one guy you mentioned I want to talk about as well, Corey Crawford. You know, I think people just looked at the Blackhawks, and I know we, during our summer preview, Michael, we talked about the Blackhawks, and I think we were both kind of expecting a drop-off because, I mean, they have lost some guys, and there are players getting older. But, I mean, Seabrook and Keith, I mean, if anybody who's watching the Chicago Blackhawks, they notice that those guys have regressed in a big way, and you can easily understand why, because they just played so much hockey over the last 5-6 years. I mean, you're talking about guys who made runs to long, deep runs, you know, a few years ago, to Stanley Cup finals, and they went to Olympics, and they played in tournaments and whatnot, and they logged very big minutes. And this year, those guys have really dropped off. And Patrick Kane hasn't necessarily been, I know he's at a point of game now, he's gotten hot again now, but there's been a lot of times where he's been off. Brandon Saad and Jonathan Toews have been off. And I mean, through it all, the reason why they're actually in the conversation for a wild card spot, because they've been so bad, is because of Corey Crawford. And I just feel like, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I just feel like he's a guy who we all, or not we, you and I, but just the hockey world seems to underrate, just because he played on star-studded Blackhawks teams, won a cup, but we underrate him because he used to be on an all-star team, and now all of a sudden he's the guy carrying the load.
I couldn't agree with you more, 100%. You know, Seabrook and Keith are both in their 30s, and, you know, that some guys age better than others, and you know, they're having their difficulties. I don't think Keith has scored this year. I think he's got 15 assists in, you know, 33, 34 games.
Yeah, he's gone. I think he's gone like almost 50 games without a goal.
Yeah, you know, that's, well, I mean, he's improved up late, but that's like Brent Burns like.
Yeah. Yeah. Another big disappointment.
Yeah, well, he's been really hot lately, but back to the Blackhawks. You know, they've really, I think they've aged, and you're right. You know, all these extra games in the playoffs, all the world tournaments, you know, the World Cup last year, the Olympics, it just takes its toll on your body. And you just can't do it sometimes. And, I mean, you look at Pittsburgh this year. They're not in the playoff spot. They've won 2 Stanley Cups in a row. Yeah. A lot of their guys went to the World Cup. last year at the beginning of the season. That takes its toll on you. You know, they're not getting the goaltending they thought they would out of Matt Murray, although you can't really blame a young kid like Murray, a second-year player like that. But, you know, those things happened. And, you know, I agree fully. Chicago, Crawford was always underrated, in my opinion. It's really hard to be a good goalie on a really good team because you face a lot less shots because your team's so good. And, you know, if you're only – you don't know you're going to face three shots in the period. So when they come, it's a bit of a surprise, but you're always ready and you're just as tense as you are as if you're facing like 25 shots because you're anticipating. And it's really kind of hard. And I always thought he was underrated and I always thought he was a real good goaltender.
So then now if we can hop back to Vasilevskiy, but you see what I mean? Like with the point you just brought up about Murray, I think it's very interesting because there were a lot of expectations there. Right, I mean, rightfully so. I mean, the guy helped them win two Stanley Cups. But like Tampa Bay, they had a safety net. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury was the safety net, like Ben Bishop was the safety net. And you toss the safety net away with Bishop, and he ends up getting traded to the Kings. Now he's with Dallas. Vasilevskiy flourishes. Tampa Bay rolls the dice. They look great. Jim Rutherford does the same thing. They have to free up money. So they allow Fleury to go to Vegas. All of a sudden, Matt Murray, it's not the same thing when you don't have a safety net. When you become the guy and you've got to play night in and night out, it's a different ballgame. And I think Murray has probably been, from a fantasy perspective, I want to be careful how I say this, but from a fantasy perspective, I feel like he went a lot earlier than Vasilevskiy most of the time just because of the cups and the pedigree. And it's flopped. It hasn't worked out.
Yeah, well, I think they're two different circumstances. I think Pittsburgh really wanted to keep both, but, you know, the rules of expansion forced them to make a move. You know, that they allowed, you know, Fleury to be taken because you can only keep one goalie.
Right, but they actually also gave up a draft pick to make sure Vegas took Fleury and not to lose somebody else.
Well, that, you know, that's fine and dandy, but I mean, you know, Tampa Bay decided they were going to trade Bishop last year. They weren't going to sign him, so they might as well get something for him. Yeah. And they made that conscious effort. We're getting rid of Bishop. You're our guy. You know, I think it was more thrown upon Pittsburgh that Murray became the guy because you had to lose somebody in the expansion draft. You couldn't keep two goalies.
Right.
Because believe me, if there was no expansion draft, Fleury would still be there.
You think so?
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah, with that salary, you don't think they want to free up the cap space?
Where they couldn't give him away to anybody else. Nobody else wanted him.
Yeah, I guess that's the issue. If you can't find any other taker, that's a problem. But yeah, it's just different circumstances. But in both cases, it was, you know, forced upon one and a decision by the other that they were going to roll the dice. And people just assume sometimes, hey, yeah, we're going to go with the younger guy, the stud, and he's just going to be able to step in and do the job. And it's a very dangerous slope. And there's a guy who's very interesting, and I kind of lumped this year John Gibson into that category, kind of with Carey Price, kind of with Henrik Lundqvist, guys who get hot sometimes and then they get really cold. Like, it just seems like they're very, very either on or off this year. And obviously he's younger, but I think for the most part this year, Gibson's been another guy who's kind of been, you know, disappointing. And, you know, I understand the Ducks have injuries and stuff, but it's just a lot of these young guys, people forget to realize that these young guys take some time. Like, that's the thing. It's not necessarily going to be a slam dunk every time.
As tough as it is to be a young defenseman in the NHL, it's tougher to be a young goalie in the NHL.
Yeah.
You know, plain and simple. When you top Gibson, Gibson's a very good goaltender. I think Anaheim made a very, very smart move in getting a veteran like Ryan Miller to back him up and to, you know, to be there to help him out and, you know, to learn from him. You know, that's what they did. You know, that's what happened in Pittsburgh. That's what happens with most organizations. You know, the older guy teaches the younger guy. It's just, you know what? Again, Gibson is one of the goalies I really like. Mm-hmm. You know, he struggled at times, but who doesn't struggle at times? Like, you know, Vasilevskiy gave up 13 goals in three games to Florida in the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah.
You know, and was absolutely spectacular against every other team in the league when he played. So it's just there's nothing you can do. Sometimes you're going to give up goals. You know, these guys are NHL scorers. You know, they're the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Guys are going to score. You're going to have bad games. That's just sports. You know, even LeBron has bad games in soccer. In basketball, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely, I hear you. Yeah, no, I know the goals are going to be scored. It just, it seems like there's certain guys this year, I find more than other years, where it's either these guys are on or these guys are off. And like most of them, you counted them to be number one goalies for you in fantasy. Like in my mind, Gibson should be a number one, and Price should be a number one, and Lundqvist should be a number one. Murray should be a number one. It's just like there's, they go through these stretches where it's like they're unbeatable, and then they go through these other stretches where it's like they can't save, they can't stop a beach ball.
Yeah, you know what? I've been doing this a long, long time, and I know you've been doing it for a while. Goaltending's always been like this. There's four or five guys you can rely on, and everyone else takes their turn at jumping up, and they think they're going to be a tier one goaltender, but they aren't. They'll just fall short. It's just, that's the way it is. You know, Lundqvist for the last three or four years has been horrible to start the season, comes on in the middle, and whether he comes, you know, stays that way the rest of the season is like, who knows? You know, it's a roll of the dice. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Like, let's talk about last year in the playoffs with Montreal. How good was Lundqvist?
He was outstanding in the first round. He was fantastic.
And how before the playoffs started, were you concerned about that Lundqvist was going to steal it? Or you go, okay, great.
I thought there was no chance.
Exactly. You know, that's just the way it is.
In the next series, he was giving up goals by the truckload to Ottawa.
Yeah, but that's just the way it is. You know, you can say, I expect this, I expect that. But, you know, when it comes to guys like, you know, there's only, like I said, there's four or five guys you can always rely on every year. They may change. Like, obviously, they're going to change. It's not like Patrick Waugh's still in the league because he was a top five goalie, and Martin Brodeur, that they change eventually. But usually there's only four or five guys you can really rely on. And guys win jobs and guys lose jobs. I mean, look what happened. I thought last season, before the season started, I thought Hellebuyck was a cinch to be the Winnipeg goaltender.
Yeah.
And he struggled. They brought Mason in this year. Mason had a couple bad games. Hellebuyck's been a star, you know, maybe not of late, but for the first 2 months of the season, he was an absolute stud for Winnipeg. Those things happen. You know, last year, Brian Elliott, horrible when they brought him into Calgary, lost the job and regained it and played great for like a bunch of, for such a long period of time, and then lost it again. You know, that's just the way it is.
You're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast. Joey Alfieri and Michael Finewax with you. You can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri for me, at MFinewax Hockey for Michael, and at RotoWorld_HK is Roto World Hockey's main page where all our main headlines are tweeted out. So you definitely want to be following all three of those accounts. Okay, I'm going to name some goalies. I want to know what you think of them fantasy-wise the rest of the way this season. Is that cool?
Sure.
All right. I can weigh in on this one as well, but I know you just touched on him. Connor Hellebuyck, between now and the end of the year, I mean, as of right now, it's an 18-4-5 record with a 9.20 goals against and a .244 save percentage. He has two shutouts, and he's clearly overtaken Steve Mason for the number one job. He's young. I would personally pounce on him if he's available in any type of league. I really like him. What do you think the rest of the way?
Yeah, I really like him the rest of the way, too. I think the save percentage might drop a little bit. He's not going to be 18-4 the rest of the way. But, you know, who knows? Because Winnipeg's got a real good hockey team. And I think finally people are seeing, you know, the youth in Winnipeg is coming through. And, you know, wins are more of a way of the team. You know, yeah. Save percentage and your goals against average, also team things. But, you know, you control those a little bit more. You know, you could play great and lose in a shutout 1-0 and you're not getting the win.
Yeah, definitely. They've been skilled for a while, but they're getting saves.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you look at guys like Ehlers and Laine. You know, Shifley has, like, I think 2 or 3 points in his last 9 games. And it doesn't seem like...
You got 4 lines that can score. Like, just to give you an idea, Michael, and I keep close tabs for Roto World on the healthy scratches and whatnot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Marco Dano is a former first-round pick, and he's still relatively young. And I think there's a lot of teams that he would play on. He cannot get into the lineup for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
Sean Matthias is a proven NHL guy. He can't get into the lineup for the Jets either.
Yeah, they're young and they're strong. I mean, I really like their defense too with guys like Morrissey. You know, Byfuglien went down and like again, they haven't missed a beat.
All right, so that's that. Hellebuck, we definitely agree on. Okay, this one, I know you're a lot closer to this situation than I am. I find with Frederik Andersen, it's either you love him or you hate him. I personally love him. I think he's a very good goaltender. I think Toronto is going to be able to right the ship as soon as Matthews gets back. Fantasy-wise, he has 18 wins. He has 3 shutouts, .923 save percentage, .261 goals against average. I think you'll be fine the rest of the way.
I agree. Yeah. I agree that, you know, it's a... The more shots he faces in a game, the better he seems to be. And, you know, because Leafs give up 40 shots or more on more than one occasion, and he's been absolutely stellar in those games. I think they're using McElhaney only in the back half of back-to-back games, and that's a good way to go. I think maybe McElhaney will get a couple more extra starts the rest of the way. So should the Leafs make the playoffs, as it looks like they're going to right now, Andersen will be a little more rested, but... you know, it's not like Anderson's 35 either. You know, he's in the prime of his career. I guess he's about 26, 27, 28 in that range.
Yeah.
And you know, he's actually 28 years old. And, I mean, that's what you want from your goalie.
Yeah, he's definitely – I find he's one who kind of gets – he gets underrated too every once in a while. I mean, I know he was in Anaheim. Now he's in Toronto. And, the focus is on – is on Austin Matthews, obviously, all day, every day there. But still, I like him. I like him, I think, more than most. I think you and I are on the same page on this one. Okay, Carey Price, I'm curious to get your thoughts on rest of the way.
You know, Price is an interesting one because, I mean, he's an elite goaltender, no ifs, ands, or buts. But he doesn't play well. Montreal doesn't win, as you well know. You know, I mean, I'm looking and I see Pacioretty, a perennial 30-goal scorer. 30-plus goal score.
Oh, yeah.
8 goals this year in 34 games.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you expect to win when you're best? I mean, Gallagher's leading the team with 13 goals. They were laughing last year that Byron was second on the team in goals. Like, that's too bad. Byron's second again on the team in goals.
Michael, I can tell you it's not just Pacioretty, but Pacioretty, Galchenyuk, and Drouin are the 3 go-to offensive players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just... the well has dried up this year for whatever reason. Shea Weber has been banged up in and out of the lineup. Carey Price was even injured. I'm with you. I've seen flash since he's been back. I've seen flashes of that elite goaltender, and I still think he very much is. Unfortunately, being an elite goaltender doesn't always translate into fantasy success if the team in front of you doesn't score enough and doesn't defend well enough consistently. This is one I got to tell you. I mean, and this one might raise some eyebrows, and it sounds like we're on the same wavelength again. I think if you own Carey Price in a, you know, standard league or whatever,
right,
and you can get something decent for him, I think you make the deal. I think you make a trade.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would cut ties, not because he's not good, but just because the circumstance is very, very delicate, and that's if I, you know, I think it's going to get uglier before it gets better because they're just not good down the middle. Shea Weber's hurt. I really believe that if you own Carey Price, I think you want to make a move and try to get something. You want to try to get something decent for him now before this thing completely falls apart between now and April.
How bad was that trade then for Shea Weber for Subban, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? I think the interesting thing is that people either loved it or hated it, and I was kind of in that middle ground where I didn't love the deal. I didn't think it was a good deal for the Canadians, but in my mind, it was never because Shea Weber was bad. It was just because Shea Weber was 31 at the time. PK Subban was 27, and Shea Weber, you know, had those seasons where he was logging these huge minutes in the Western Conference, where travel is harder. It's a bigger game, and you're seeing it now. You've seen it this season. He's worn down. You know, the Canadians had. You know, they changed up their defense. They never were able to find a second pair, a number two defenseman to play with Weber. So they had to count on him to play big. I mean, Michael, we're talking about a guy who was playing like 27, 28, 29 minutes regularly in October. That's not when you want your guys to be playing that many minutes.
You know, it's funny because I got a similar take, but a different take in a way on it. I thought that Subban was the face of the franchise more so than Price. And he took the press would go to him.
Yes.
And now the press is going to guys like Pacioretty and Price way more. And it's affecting them. Maybe not Price as much, but I think like guys like Pacioretty, you know, it's like, what are they going to ask me now? Or what are they going to say now? Or what are they, you know, like, and Subban deflected a lot of that.
But I think you see on the flip side, mm-hmm. not to rehash old things, but I think that's one of the reasons why he was gone is that you listen, I've been in that locker room. Like I'm in that locker room on like a daily basis when they're in town, right? Pacioretty, you can tell, I mean, not a fan of doing media availability, but you're the captain of the team. You got to do it. Carey Price is awful at it. I mean, we had a scrum with him 2 weeks ago after a game that the Canadians won, a scrum that lasted 55 seconds with reporters' questions included, just to give you an idea of how short he is. PK Subban, I think one of the reasons why maybe his teammates weren't huge fans of him is because he took up a lot of that spotlight. He had his own brands. And for whatever reason, it's fine in basketball, it's fine in football, but you do it in hockey and there's this old school mentality that you can't do that stuff. And I think that the reason that he was so or that they wanted him out, part of the reason was because he hogged up a lot of attention and it's the Montreal Canadiens and nobody's supposed to be bigger than the Canadiens.
Yeah, but I think it helped the team immensely that he took all that. I think it was
a flawed team. They're still flawed. If they don't have a goalie, they have nothing.
Yeah, well, you know what? Everyone knows. I mean, you in the media, would you always tend to go towards Subban? Because you know you can't put quote out of him?
You see, that's what I'm saying. But the difference, you're 100% right. The difference is that a guy can talk for, you know, he can give you a response to your question and you can go on for a minute and a half and the other guy is going to give you a six-second answer.
I know. So, and I'm saying that's what's hurting the Habs right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
And they're not that good. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. They're not good. And so in short, to wrap this portion up is I like Shea Weber. I think Shea Weber is a great player. I think there's a chance Shea Weber is even a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that the Canadians got somebody with a lot of miles on him. And you're starting to see that now. You're starting to see him break down now. And the foot speed isn't there like it used to be. And now the injuries are starting to catch up to him because there are so many miles on him. And whereas PK Subban is younger and fresher. Makes more money. Makes more money, but the contract ends a heck of a lot sooner than Shea Weber's. You're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast with Joey Alfieri and Michael Feinwax. You can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri for me, at MFineWax Hockey for Michael, and at RotoWorld _HK. Michael, just one or two more goalies I want to get your thoughts on before we wrap it up. All right. Here's an interesting one for you. Corey Schneider, and I guess he's been great, by the way, this year. Mm-hmm. But do you believe that the Devils are going to keep this up? Because it seems like I keep expecting them to fall apart with the names that I kind of see on paper. Like when I see Brian Gibbons at the top of their goal scoring chart, I'm like, okay, this is going to have to stop at a certain point. But Schneider's kept them in a lot of games. They have some young talent on the team. Again, I'm still skeptical that they can keep this up for the second half of the year.
Yeah, me too, because they're a young team. And you know, like they're relying on guys like Will Butcher, who's a rookie, Jesper Bratt, who's a rookie, Nico Hischier, who's a rookie.
Like these guys are going to hit a wall.
Of course they are. You know, it's just natural. You don't play that many games as a junior or a college player or over in Sweden. And, you know, it's just that's the way, you know, that's the reality of things. That being said, they made a real, real good trade for Sammy Vatanen. Even though you don't see it fantasy-wise, Vatanen's a very, very good defenseman, and he'll really help out that squad because that's where they needed the help on the blue line. You know, they had lots of centers. They just got – I mean, there's a few injuries and stuff like that. They're getting guys back. I think they're going to be okay. I think they still may make the playoffs. I think they'll be a bubble team. But you know what? I think with every passing game, Corey Schneider gets a little more confidence that he's part of a good young hockey team. And, you know, it's not like they're going to win 30 games and get 70, 72 points. You know, they got a shot to make the playoffs, and I think that's what Corey Schneider's looking for. So I like Corey Schneider. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but I think they'll be in the talk for the playoffs come April. They'll be right there anyway.
And I'll save the toughest one for last, Cam Talbot. It's been a completely polar opposite season from last year. Last year he was great. This year everyone expected him to be great. He's been injured and he hasn't been very good when he's out there. He's been better of late, but rest of the way, your thoughts?
Grab him. I like him the rest of the way. I think Edmonton's going to be a lot better the rest of the way. They got off to a real rough start, and he was part of it. They just got Sakara back, who hasn't played at all this season, who will help him defensively. I think they're just going to be a much better hockey team the rest of the way. And again, depending what category, but if wins are an important part of your category of your pool, grab them.
Sounds good. I like it. So we both came up with some pretty bold statements, I think, during this show. It's been fun, Michael. Have a good one. Have a great holiday season to you and all of our listeners. And we'll touch base next week.
Merry Christmas for those who celebrate. Happy holidays for everybody else.
Absolutely. This has been the Roto World Hockey Podcast with Joey Alfieri and Michael Feinwax. Again, you can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri for me and at MFeinwax Hockey for Michael. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can do so on via iTunes, via Stitcher. We're on art19.com as well. And don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment if you appreciate the show, which if you're listening, I am certain you do. Thank you, everyone. Again, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we will touch base next week for the last podcast of 2017.